You're listening to Jules Schiller. Jules Schiller on ABC Radio Adelaide.
It's 24 minutes to 6. Well, last month, Helen Glanville, CEO of Second Chances SA, received the Gold Australian Crime and Violence Prevention Award for a unique program diverting prisoners' kids from detention. Acting Director of the Australian Institute of Criminology, Nicole Rose, said this is the only project of its kind in South Australia and possibly Australia, and a big step in confronting the next generation of criminals. To talk about her work, I'm joined by Helen Glanville now. Hi, Helen. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about Second Chances SA.
Well, Second Chances SA works in this space with the children because we care about them. They actually are most vulnerable because they see things that you and I haven't seen, and they're seven times more likely to go to prison than any other group in the community.
So how many children would be in this category who have parents who are in the prison system?
Well, that's a very good question, because no one particular government is actually taking responsibility for them. We don't have a federal prison system, and not every prisoner, when they are admitted to prison, is actually asked, who are your dependents?
Yeah, you would think that would be one of the first questions if you arrest someone and incarcerate them. Do you have any children? So that's not a question that they have to ask.
Not in every prison. They have been asking in the women's prison, and to the department's credit, they are doing that. But it's not right across the board, nor is it across the board nationally. So they do fall between the cracks, and sometimes they, by default, get looked after by neighbours, or a week later. I know of school teachers that have found out a week after they've fended for themselves, and they've had to call in the authorities or Department of Child Protection or whatever to actually take these children into care. So we're actually supporting all the caregivers that want that support, because these kids often feel bullied at school.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, your old man's in Yatla, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then you've got, they feel abandoned. They feel that perhaps it's their fault. Daddy doesn't love me anymore. There's a whole bunch of emotions that go through the thinking of a child. And they're actually often taught values that you and I perhaps have taken for granted from our own families. Now, your mum and dad probably told you to tell the truth.
Well, my dad was a spy, so I'm not sure anything you told me was true. I've had him on. But you're right. You know, your parents give you a moral code,
correct,
a very strong moral code that you take
in. Right. And one of those things is to respect authority. So if you've been taught the opposite, we have to try and give these children options about values that can work for them, that they don't have to follow in their mum or dad's footsteps.
Yeah. And you say in reading about your work, Helen, for Second Chances SA, that kids are constantly told you're going to follow your old man or, you know, your mum into prison, and they're constantly having that reinforced, which can be a self-fulfilling prophecy unless someone like you intervenes.
Correct. And that's why we do what we call PK mentoring camps. PK standing for prisoners' kids. We do 10 a year, and we start at 8, and we go all the way through to whatever they're in school, subject to the caregiver allowing us to do this. And we teach them things like trust and teamwork, and we get them to start thinking about their future and what they really want to do with their lives. So this report, this gold award that we got, was actually based on some research, some evidence-based research that was done on our work. We've been in this space for 9 years, and they saw that we are actually having results diverting these kids from detention, and that's the big aim. What we do is we come alongside them and we do a goal-setting plan, but we also put strengthening factors like buying them brand new school uniforms and shoes, and to prevent them from truanting, because truanting is the beginning of going astray. And so if we can keep them in school, keep them finishing their education, we've achieved much, because many times they're not encouraged to do that.
Does the nature of the crime their parents have been convicted of also affect, say, the emotional stresses on a child? Like if it's a more violent crime, it might be more confronting. If it's a drug offence, does that have anything to do with it, or is it simply the fact that their mum or dad is in prison?
Well, for some, they see things that aren't healthy at all. In fact, it's probably a form of abuse that they even see their parents arguing. And then there's, of course, the drug and alcohol associates of their mum and dad. So when they are at home with the caregiver, which could be the mother or their grandmother, for example, it's sometimes a different scene. And then, of course, they may or may not actually get visits to their imprisoned parents, so they feel the strain, you know, of that relationship. So 80% of all crime is drug and alcohol related.
And so that, so they've grown up in a household that hasn't been probably very cohesive anyway.
Correct.
I'm interested in like the nature of children visiting their parents in prison. I imagine you are involved in that as well, or aware of it. Is there a formal process for that, or how does that work for kids to see their parents in prison?
Well, children can visit their parents, but obviously they need to be escorted by an adult, and they are completely reliant on their caregiver. And if their caregiver isn't interested, there's maybe a fracture in the relationship then between the adults, then the children may not see their parent for months.
Mm.
And there's situations, of course, where the children are actually in care and they don't see their imprisoned parent. So unless there's a special family day at the prison, which happens once a year at Christmas, these children are totally reliant on the adults around them to care about maintaining a relationship with their imprisoned parent. And that's a very, very difficult situation. It is not their fault. They are falling through the cracks, and not one government is taking responsibility for who they are. And yet it's a no-brainer, because we've identified the postcodes right throughout every state in this nation. There's a guy by the name of Tony Vinson, and he's put out all the research called Dropping Off the Edge. And we are incubating tomorrow's criminals in certain postcodes.
I'm talking to Helen Glanville. She's CEO of Second Chances, which recently won an award for its work it does with, amongst other things, with children of people who are being incarcerated. And as you say, can easily offend themselves if people like you don't intervene. So when you say certain postcodes, you mean certain areas in Adelaide that you need to sort of pay more attention to? Is that what you're saying, Helen?
I think that government needs to be putting in stronger, bigger infrastructure for youth workers, recreation centres, after-school activities, to give these kids serious, good, meaningful activity so they're not tempted to go astray or end up sleeping on a bus bench or whatever. The postcodes are known, but who's doing the work?
So you would see that the money spent to prevent these crimes with youth workers and social workers and things like that would actually save money from the cost of incarceration and putting them through a judicial process?
Oh, absolutely. We need to be targeting these kids and putting the wraparound services. So for us to buy not only brand new uniforms and school shoes to give them restoration of their dignity, we also take them away and talk about values that can and choices that they can make and decisions that they can make for them, for their own lives. And that's very, very important. And in addition to that, throughout the year, we actually give them birthday presents to reaffirm their value. And at Christmas, we bring the family together with Christmas presents, because often if we're not involved, sometimes these kids don't even get any Christmas presents.
Do you get much pushback from kids? I mean, you know, if they've had a pretty hard life, they might have a pretty cynical attitude to areas. I mean, how receptive are they initially to these sort of programs, Helen?
Our access to the children is totally dependent on our relationship with their caregiver.
Mm.
And invariably, once the caregiver realises that we're helping her or him, especially the grandmother, they welcome us very much. We have we've only just slipped into the state budget, and we've got some funds through to June 2019, for which we're very grateful, but we could do more.
Mm.
And so we do a lot of home visitation. And you can't get into someone's home unless they open the door and want, you know, you make the appointment, and they want all the support that they can get to keep these kids on track. Once they realise that we're there to help mum as well as the children, especially with things like simple things like budgeting and connecting them with other community groups and maybe referring them to services that are going to do everything that can possibly keep these kids in school and finish their goals and their education.
So when you say kids can fall between the cracks, is there a situation where their parents could go to prison and they don't really have a home? They're just drifting around between various houses and no one's kind of aware of their situation? Have you seen things like that happening?
Lounge surfing is common. Oh, absolutely. So we know of a situation where three children were left to fend for themselves, and it wasn't until the end of an entire week that an 8-, 9- and 10-year-old child finally fessed up to their school teachers at the end of the week and said, oh, Mum went to prison on Monday.
Wow. So why isn't this program compulsory in every state? I mean, it says that, you know, Second Chances SA, you know, the person who gave the award that I was reading it before, Nicole Rose from the Institute of Criminology, said that that it's might be the only project of its kind in Australia. I thought something like this would be reasonably common.
You would think. There is one other group in New South Wales doing an excellent job, but it's mostly crisis intervention, weeknights, weekends and so forth. We specialise in early intervention. So we walk alongside, we grow up with these children. So we've been actually doing PK mentoring camps, and we put an emphasis on the word mentoring, so that they have people around them, and there's a sort of an atmosphere of support, because the other kids in the camp all too have a parent in prison. And so there's this bonding that happens, and there's an understanding, and our leaders are very much mentoring them and speaking positively into their minds and lives about who they are and what they can become.
And how can people help Second Chances SA, Helen?
Well, there's the obvious. Yes, you can. We have a donate page on our website.
Okay. What's the website?
Secondchances.org.au.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, look, it's such a great cause, and, you know, it's so great that you're being recognised with an award, so congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, that
very
must
much.
Have been very heartwarming for you. Not that Extremely. You do it for awards, but no. It's nice to know that you're making a difference.
Well, we want to make an even bigger difference, and we believe we can, and we care about these kids, and if we can keep them on the straight and narrow and teach them some new ways and introduce them to new friends who are positive and have positive role models in their lives, I shouldn't say this, I suppose, but I've applied to the Crows Foundation, because I think some of these guys could come along to our camps and really speak positively to these kids and give them hope.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in, Helen Glanville, and congratulations on your work. And plugging the Crows, I'm sure Port would come down as well. Yes, but football
yes,
players
do.
Are really good
They're
in those
great.
Situations,
exactly.
And yeah, it would make a big difference.
Exactly.
All right. This is Jules Schiller on ABC Radio Adelaide.